are you? That is the question and the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon and Rice McLeod will give you the answers. Who are you? Check the schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Open up your eyes and see the left. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on American Exposé. And obviously, this is not Chris Gerner. This is Jackie Patru. I'm standing in for Chris tonight. He's asked me to do this because he felt that we should continue the conversation about Terri Schiavo, knowing that we've spent a lot of time on this. Chris has asked me to do it. And so here we are, folks. Today is Thursday. It is the 24th of March in the year 2005, and this is 7 full days that Terri has been without hydration. And we're not on Sweet Liberty, of course, but we always begin the broadcast with a spiritual message. And this is one we've done many times these past couple weeks from Matthew 25. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Chris will be on the hour after this. I guess Melody normally does it, and Chris is going to be on this next hour, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, maybe it's on the shortwave. No, I don't know. He might be on, he might not. What is this? This is Thursday. I know that he is on the shortwave tonight. I don't know that he's on the Internet. If you're listening, if you are on the Internet, there are some new items that have been posted at sweetliberty.org website. On Terri, it's on the main page up at the top, and there's more in Terri's in the section when you click on terri.sweetliberty.org right underneath the articles. And so I do urge you to take time to take a look at some of them. I haven't been watching the news today. Actually, I did 2 hours on shortwave in Chris's place today, from 4 to 6, and I just have not been watching. But about 15 minutes before I came on, I flipped on CNN just to see what they were saying, and in 5 short minutes, folks, I want to bring to your attention, this is an assertion that I am making, and I believe I am right, that if there is not intervention, and if our efforts do fail, and the evil ones win, we probably won't hear another word about this on the controlled media, on the mass media. It'll almost be like it never happened. I was thinking that tonight, because everywhere you turn, you're hearing about it, and they keep going back and forth. Larry King was talking with somebody, and of course they always have the opposing people on. And one lady was saying that this is barbaric. She said her mom and dad can't even put an ice cube to her lips tonight. And then another man after her, he said, well, there have been 26 legal proceedings in this. And in other words, it's time to give it up. He said, you can't resolve 25 years of conflict. This is the rule of law. The rule of law. What is that supposed to mean, do you suppose? Rule of law. The courts. Oh, and they took a break. I'm telling you, I didn't listen for more than 3 minutes. And And they were taking a break, and Larry King said that what we're discussing tonight, have the judges gone too far in the case of Terri Schiavo? They had her father on, Bob Schindler, and he was saying it's hard to believe they're trying to kill Terri. There's nothing wrong with her. Underneath that, the way they have all their little messages, no decision by Judge Whitmore, the federal judge, in the case of Terri. And, of course, we know, you know, that it the whole thing is a charade. The whole thing is a charade. I was up till 4:30 this morning preparing items for Darren for the website, and I want to remind you again of this quote. This is something that you have to share. We must share with everybody we know and with our loved ones. And I hope to, in this section, in Terri's section, or maybe we shouldn't hide it there. I hope, because I've been saving articles on these living wills, and they're dangerous. They're so dangerous, folks. And they're being pushed. Oh, wow, are they being pushed. And this is a quote from Professor Diane Irving, one of the right to killers. She summarizes the strategy of those who oppose the sanctity of life principle and who promote euthanasia. It's very short. She says, "Dear all, statutes were enacted in the 70s and 80s authorizing living wills. They were the first, listen, they were the first of a three-part strategy to the ultimate goal of legalized euthanasia. The living will was the first of a three-part strategy to the ultimate goal of legalized euthanasia." And that's we posted that on the website, Linda. I don't know if you've been in there, but it is there now, honey. I got an email from Linda last night, and she wanted to copy that, print it out, and share it. Derek Humphrey, founder of the Hemlock Society, has said, "We have to go stage by stage with the living will, with the power of attorney, with the withdrawal of this. We have to go stage by stage." Your side would call that the slippery slope. We would say, proceed with caution, learning as we go along how to handle this very sensitive situation. Living wills were the first of a three-part strategy to the ultimate goal of legalized euthanasia, folks. And there's a lot. There's so much. God, I can't. It's amazing to me why we didn't have or weren't aware of this information before. I suppose it's because we weren't looking for it. But I shared with our listeners, and probably you all, because I believe that Chris and I probably share equally the same listeners. And so to all of you, good evening. Hello. And it's nice to be back with you. The collusion, the machine behind this. I'm going to, this is a piece that will be appearing. This is I shared with you last night, Wednesday night, I think, with our listeners, or maybe it was Tuesday night, on the issue of insurance reserve fraud. And I was preparing it for posting at 4:30 this morning. I finally decided to give it up, and it'll be there in a couple days. And I want to thank Darren because he works from 4 till 4, 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. And then he came home this morning after 10 hours of work and put all of the items up that I had prepared. I never know the time that it takes Darren to do this because I don't do that part of it. But Darren, thank you for getting those up, honey. And folks, what I'm going to do, because I kind of did an overview on just a small portion of this, not an overview, but an introduction, which you've probably noticed that I have a tendency to do in the front of articles, items that are posted in Sweet Liberty. And I want to share this with you. It is not posted yet, but you might want to listen to this closely, and I hope you can follow it. According to an Empire Journal expose, listen to this. The proper certification for Terry's admittance to the hospice was never completed, as she was not legally designated as terminal, which is a requirement to be admitted to a hospice and for her care to be paid by Medicare. That's the requirement. She has to be designated as terminal. She's lived there for 5 years, hasn't she? We've read that a hospice patient must be diagnosed as terminal with less than 6 months to live. Terry's been there for 5 years. In an interview with Larry King on March 18th, when asked about the cost of Terry's living expenses at the hospice for her care, Michael said that it cost him nothing because Medicare was paying for it. Okay? And Larry said, well, it's probably really expensive. And Michael said, I don't have any idea because I never get billed. Now listen to this. In the Empire Journal report, and that would be online at sweetliberty.org, right at the top of the page. It's actually posted permanently in Terry's section, but it's featured at the top of the page right now. It's the article on exposing the fact that Sheriff Everett Rice, who was the sheriff on duty when this all happened to Terry and who refused to open an investigation. You'll read some of this in there. Because in there, the Empire Journal reported that the federal government, now remember, Terry was not designated as terminal. So the proper certification for her admittance to the hospice was never completed. The federal government has initiated collection procedures against the Hospice of Florida Suncoast, which is the corporate of the hospice where Terry is. The federal government has instituted collection procedures against the Hospice of Florida Suncoast to recover some $14.8 million, which they say was unlawfully paid to the hospice as a result of fraudulent claims made for Medicare reimbursement for patients that were not terminally ill and therefore not eligible for hospice care, allegedly at a time when both Sheriff Rice, Everett Rice, and George Filos, Michael's attorney, were members of the hospice board of directors. George Filos resigned his position on the board when or just prior to taking over as Michael Schiavo's lawyer. And they've, of course, been trying to kill Terry ever since, haven't they, folks? In November 2004, that would have been last November, Sheriff Rice was elected to the Florida State House of Representatives. However, just days before he left the department, he hired Michael Schiavo, who's a registered nurse, to work in the inmates' medical care division of the Pinellas County Jail. Come to find out, the mother of his other wife, Jody Santones, also worked at the jail until June 25, 1999, some 11 years, while Rice was sheriff. And at the same time, Schiavo had petitioned Rice's good friend, Judge Greer, to end Terry's life. Do you see that connection there, folks? He's living with and bearing children with Jody Santones. Jody's mother works at the sheriff's department. And there we find that she was there at the time that Michael was trying to get permission from Sheriff Rice's good friend, Judge Greer, to kill Terry. Think there was a little collusion there, folks? And after reading that article from the Empire Journal, the collusion between Judge Greer, George Filos, Everett Rice, who steadfastly refused to investigate allegations of wrongdoing on the night of Terry's collapse, along with State Attorney Bernie McCabe and Attorney General Charlie Crist. Both of them had also repeatedly refused to open an investigation, and Crist has even denied that he had ever received any reports of wrongdoing. After all of that, and then learning about insurance reserve fraud, the picture gets a little bit less murky. So many of us have asked, I know we all have asked this, folks, how has Michael Schiavo gotten away with his criminal actions? Who is he that so many powerful people open doors, close books, and protect him from scrutiny? There has to be something more to this than meets the eye. When we discover that the hospice of the Suncoast, Florida, is being investigated for Medicare fraud because so many of their patients are not terminal. Now think about this, $14.8 million illegal dollars collected from the federal government, by the hospice, on patients that were not legally supposed to be paid Medicare on because they were not terminal. That had to have been a lot of people, don't you think, folks? $14.8 million. And so the question is begged, how many people have been killed at that hospice? Did all of those non-terminally ill people walk out at some time or other? Or were they deprived of food and water until they expired? Of course, there's other ways to do in useless eaters and these non-terminally ill people who were entered into the hospice illegally. There's many ways to do away with them. There are many ways to do away with them, aren't there? Give them a shot of insulin. Give them an overdose of insulin. Let them go into a coma and they're gone. And that is a chilling thought. A huge can of worms that will hopefully be opened. My regret is not having been aware of all of this until now, because maybe if we had all been asking these questions and informing others who would ask the same questions, maybe Terry wouldn't be lying in the hospice of Woodside dying as this is being written. And then I made a final statement here. We'll leave you to your reading about the bar, insurance fraud, and murder. You'll discover that there are millions of dollars available to grease palms and stuff pockets of minions who will do anything for a buck or a few million, even and especially murder. And that is the introduction to the article about the insurance reserve fraud, folks. And we did cover that on Tuesday night. Terry is still, as far as we know, in this world. And I believe that tomorrow, Jeb Bush's office should absolutely be bombarded. Lily was telling me today that she made a call today, and she was wanting to know how come that Governor Bush was not rescuing Terry and taking her into protective custody. And the woman snapped at her and said, he can't break the law. And because Lily is so informed, because she has her ducks in a row, she was able to state with assurance that the laws that are necessary to protect Terry Schiavo are on the books, and they are being violated at this time. And the lady hung up on her. So if they start to get ignorant, that means that they're getting very, very frustrated. I think the calls and the faxes and the emails should continue to pour in, because as long as there is life, as Terry said, as it was said that Terry said, as long as there's life, there is hope. And so here are the phone numbers for those of you who don't have them in front of you. The phone number at Jeb Bush's office. These are all 850 area codes. I won't say the area code because I'm giving you several numbers here. 850 is the area code. His office number is 488-7146. 488-7146. His press secretary is 488-5394. And the assistant, Donovan Brown, is 850-410-0501. Oh, I gave you the area code. 410-0501. That's assistant Donovan Brown. The fax, there are two fax numbers, both area code 850. The first one is 487-0801. 487-0801 and 922-4292. His email, jeb@jeb.org, jeb@jeb.org, or you might want to send one to both of them, jebbush@myflorida.com, jebbush@myflorida.com. It's all lowercase. There is another article that came in I haven't read yet, and it, I believe it is from somebody who worked in one of the state offices. Don't remember if it was the attorney general, the sheriff's office, or what, but it is somebody allegedly who has said that. And that was an article also done by the Empire Journal, that if they were, what is it called when you, oh shoot, subpoena, that if he was subpoenaed, he would come out and tell that when two times on two different occasions, when they were supposed to, they started an investigation into the wrongdoings of what occurred that night when Terry collapsed, and both times they were shut down. And so that's another one that's out. They've been having a heyday, haven't they, folks? There is, I don't know how many of you who listen on the internet have a separate line, but I can tell you that I would surely appreciate and love hearing from you tonight if you would like to call in. We've got a half hour to go. I've got something here I can share with you, and this will be being posted at the website. And of course, we're not on shortwave tonight, so it's just you and me, guys, here on the internet. And so what actually winds up happening is I read an article to you that you eventually wind up being able to read on the internet. It's different when I'm doing this for our shortwave listeners, because so many of them don't have internet access. The call-in number here, if you would like to call in, and I guess you would probably have to go offline to do that, then I guess you could listen into the archives tomorrow or something. But if you would like to call in, it is 570-537-3025. 570-537-3025 if you'd like to call in. I would actually appreciate hearing from you tonight. And I think I heard, I'm not sure if we're ready to take a break here or not. And I would imagine that there is a break at the half hour mark. We take one on Sweet Liberty, of course, don't we? There's an item that I put up there on Purim, folks. I didn't put it up, Darren put it up. Oh, there's our, yes, we're going to be taking a 60-second break here. And I don't know if it's commercials. Yes, I suppose it is. And so I will be back with you after this. You have to bear with me tonight, okay? I'm just not familiar with the format here. And I'm actually not hearing any music. And I wonder if this is, if Chris plays music at this time. I don't know. What do you think about that song you heard at the beginning of the broadcast? Carl Klang's America, America, is it too late to save you?
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
In 1928, Germany required its citizens to register their firearms, making possible Hitler's 1938 Nazi Weapons Act, disarming all Jews. Now ask yourself, what is the real consequence of registration? All in favor of gun control, raise your right hand. Brought to you by Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, America's aggressive civil rights organization, jpfo.org.
Be sure to listen to the Church at Cahuilla every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Pacific Time. The Church at Cahuilla is a Lordship Church under the sole authority of Jesus Christ. You may contact the Church at Cahuilla by calling 559-561-4860. That's 559-561-4860. And let them know how much you're being blessed. Thank you.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
All right, we're back. If you happen to tune in late, you are listening to American Exposé, and I am Jackie Patru, standing in for Chris Gerner this evening. And as I said earlier, I invite you and would appreciate hearing from you tonight. Like, you know, call, and you can call me at 570-537-3025. If you have anything you want to say, any comments, anything on your mind, just, it would be nice. It would be nice to talk with some of you tonight instead of talking to you. 188 hours. As of 1, about 2 p.m. this afternoon, although, from what I understand, Terry's last feeding was at 11-something that morning. So if we went from 12 noon, we've got another 9 hours added on to that. That's 197 hours without any hydration, folks. Not even an ice cube on your lips. It is barbaric. And I ask you, when Terry comes into your mind, and bring her into your thoughts, fill her, see her filled and overflowing with light and the love that you are sending her. This is lay down, Mariah, lay down. folks, I'm going to put the, I think she has to go really bad, and I'm going to have to go let her out. I'll be right back, okay?
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Who are you?
Arthur.
Do you think you have the wrong number?
Is this the wrong number? No, this is Jackie Patricia?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. Okay, no, I don't have one.
Why did you ask me who this was?
No, I was wondering because you didn't sound the same on the telephone.
Oh, okay, honey.
Yeah, did the dog go out?
She's out, yes, and I am going to have to go let her back in, but
okay.
She was...
I'll hold on.
No, who's calling?
Arthur.
Pardon?
Arthur.
Arthur?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have to talk soft because my kid's there.
Okay. Well, you go ahead, honey. She's going to be out for a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I'm wondering, all this information that everyone's talking about on the Internet, does anyone share it with her parents? Or because it sounds like y'all have a lot of evidence to really stop, to do one of those posse comitatus things and just go in and take her and just... She was illegally detained anyway.
Arthur, you know what? I've thought about... I've said it on the air. I don't know if you've listened to Sweet Liberty, but...
I do when I can.
I've said this, that... you know, I'm not talking about people going there armed. It would be a perfect opportunity for the creatures to just mow a bunch of people down with justification. But if there were enough people there and would just... form a human shield and just walk right through the barricades, walk right past the guns, walk in and take the guns away from the armed guards that are making sure that Terry doesn't get any. That I don't see anything else that's going to be done.
Well, what about marching around like in Jericho, like getting boat rights? And his
Boat rights. That was a show, honey.
Yeah, I know, but still, you know, those guys kind of go and do something other than just stand around and wait.
Well, that's true. Thank you.
Not every medal on his chest doesn't mean Diddly Squad if it doesn't even save one life.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder.
Thank
yes.
You. Right, you have a good evening.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Arthur. Bye-bye. All right, folks, I'm going to go let Mariah in, and I will be right back. And thank you for the phone call. I do appreciate it so much. I very, very truthfully, I am quite drained, I think. And it's nice to have a two-way, a back-and-forth, rather than me just sitting here talking for an entire hour. I'll be right back. I'm going to go let Mariah in, and I'll be back. Call up.
570-537-3025. Blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this simple subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like many thieves who thunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had that mic on. I'm back here with you. It is 20 minutes till the top of our hour. And if any of you would like to call in, Arthur asked a question, and I think it's a good question, but I have a sense that any of you who listen to this broadcast, who listen to American Exposé, and get the information, I believe that for the most part, because I've talked to so many of you personally, and you try, we all try to share this information. Very often it falls on deaf ears, and we know that. And I guess the main thing not to do is to get discouraged and just dust off your sandals and go to another. And, of course, it's the most frustrating and concerning when it concerns your family, when what you say. I saw on Fox News a couple of nights ago, they had a technical report or something, technology, and I believe that we have an article in the website sweetliberty.org on this in the Big Brother section, or it might be Health Med. It was a study that was done in the UK and finding out that cell phones seem to be related to brain tumors. And basically what they say, especially with children, it sort of like scrambles their nerves. And the short, brief one that I heard, it's the first time I've heard it here in the States or even seen anything about it, but they said that especially developing children, and they believe that it is affecting the DNA in their brain, and that it could cause benign tumors that will show up later on. And so when you look around and you see how many young people today have those damn cell phones, it's sort of like telling people about the poison in the toothpaste, isn't it? The fluoride. Show them the toothpaste tube, and it says keep out of the reach of children under 6. And if you swallow more than enough for brushing, seek medical help or call a poison control center immediately. And you can show people that, and they go, oh, I never knew that, and they keep buying the toothpaste. It's poison, and they keep buying it, paying to poison themselves. You know, there are sublingual medications and herbal remedies. The reason they're sublingual is because that tissue in the mouth is the most, how would you call it, a tender tissue. And it is most absorptive than any other place on your body. So whether you're swallowing this crap or not, if you're using fluoride toothpaste, your system is getting the fluoride. And talking about those cell phones is about the same thing. The call-in number here, if you'd like to call in, is 570-537-3025. Here's the... one of the most recent articles by the Empire Journal, and this was from a couple of days ago, an eminent neurologist who evaluated Terry Schiavo for the Florida State Department of Children and Families yesterday concluded that she has been wrongly diagnosed as being in a persistent vegetative state and urges her immediate removal to another facility. food and the restoration of food and water to the dying focal point. What? This must be a typo here. That doesn't make any sense at all. In his affidavit to the court obtained by WorldNet Daily, Dr. William Polk Cheshire, Jr., found that Shaivo, this is not the Empire Journal. This is a WorldNet Daily item, and I don't endorse the WorldNet Daily, but there was information on here that I felt was relevant. In his affidavit to the court, Dr. William Polk Cheshire, Jr., found that Shaivo is aware of pain and reacts visibly to it. She also reacts to the expectation of pain based on conversations she overhears in her room. If Terry is consciously aware of pain and therefore is capable of suffering, then her diagnosis of PVS may be tragically mistaken, he writes. Florida Governor Jeb Bush announced yesterday that Dr. Cheshire, Jr., as part of a DCF review team, had concluded that Shaivo might not be in a persistent vegetative state, but rather in a state of, quote, minimal consciousness. Bush said, "This new information raises serious concerns and warrants immediate action." Yep, for sure. For sure. DCF Secretary Lucy Hadi, said that under state law, the agency is authorized to intervene and have Shaivo's sustenance restored even without a court order. They know this. But Wednesday night, Bush spokesman Jacob DePietri said that the administration had no plans to defy Greer's order. The administration had no plans to defy Greer's order. Pinellas County Judge George Greer said he expected to have a final ruling on the case by noon today. And, of course, when he did rule, he said, "Nope, you can't go in and get her." And that was the end of it. After reviewing the new evidence, he blocked an effort by DCF to rescue Shaivo. "It is my understanding that nearly 3 years have passed since Jerry has had the benefit of neurological consultation," Dr. Chester wrote in his affidavit. "How, then, are we to be certain about her current neurological status? There remain, in fact, huge uncertainties in regard to Terry's true neurologic status." Dr. Chester is the director of a laboratory at the Mayo Clinic branch in Jacksonville that deals with unconscious reflexes like digestion. Chester said in studies indicating a high rate of false initial diagnoses of PVS, he said furthermore, the diagnosis of minimally conscious state had not yet become standard parlance in the field of neurology at the time of Terry's initial diagnosis. The minimally conscious state has emerged as a distinct diagnostic entity within the last few years. Cheshire also pointed out that Shaivo had not undergone functional imaging studies such as position emission tomography, or PET, they call it a PET scan today, or functional magnetic resonance imaging, that's the MRI assessment. So she hasn't had a PET scan or an MRI in 3 years. He said new facts have come to light. Actually, she's never had one. New facts have come to light in the last few years that should be weighed in the neurologic assessment of Terry Shaivo. He said significant strides have been made in the scientific understanding of PVS, permanent vegetative state, and minimally conscious states since Terry last underwent neurological evaluation. As usually happens with science, the newest evidence is prompting the medical community to think about this field in new ways. With new evidence comes fresh appreciation for what is actually happening in the brains of persons with profound cognitive impairment. Cheshire said that news studies show that when patients in a minimally conscious state listen to narratives read by a familiar person. Large areas, listen to this, folks, large areas of the cerebral cortex normally involved in language recognition and processing lit up. He said the presence of metabolic activity in those brain cells was far more than expected. He cited seven reasons to doubt the prior diagnosis of PBS in Terry Schiavo. He found her facial expressions brightens, her facial expression brightens, and she smiles in response to the voice of familiar people, such as her parents or her nurse. Her agitation subsides, and her facial demeanor softens when quiet music is played. When jubilant piano music is played, her face brightens. She lifts her eyebrows, smiles, and even laughs. Cheshire said several times he witnessed Schiavo laugh when someone in the room made a humorous comment. Do you know that there's a nurse from the hospice that did not agree with what they were doing with Terry? And evidently she voiced her opinion. She was from a temporary nursing agency, and she voiced her opinion, and she was let go. And I believe that she has actually spoken out publicly. I don't know the woman's name. Folks, the thing is that they are admitting now, she's not in a coma. Yep, she's not PVS. But that doesn't make any difference, you see, because it is her will. She doesn't want to live like this. Clear and convincing evidence, because Michael Schiavo said so, and his brother and sister-in-law confirmed it. And that was the black-robed devil, Judge George W. Greer's clear and convincing evidence. Why is there not a huge number of people out there that just go and get her? Or the militia. Well, we're all the militia from what I understand. As long as we're able-bodied, we are all the militia. I don't know if there's an age gap or not gap but perimeter in there, but we're all the militia. She said that she fixates her gaze on colorful objects in human faces for up to 15 seconds at a time and occasionally follows with her eyes as objects move from side to side. He said, when I first walked into the room, she immediately turned her head toward me and looked directly at my face. There was a look of curiosity or expectation in her expression, and she maintained eye contact for about a half a minute. Cheshire said that she also appeared to attempt to speak to him. Although he did not hear her utter distinct words, the doctor said she demonstrates emotional expressivity by her use of single-syllable vocalizations and cooing sounds. In reviewing previous affidavits, he noted that as late as 2003, the patient was heard to tell nurses to stop during certain procedures. As late as 2003, no voice speech therapy, no type of therapy whatsoever, physical therapy or anything, folks. She has been a prisoner in that hospice room for 5 years with the drapes drawn. She has never been taken outside for fresh air and sunshine, and she's still alive in spite of that. In spite of all that, not a picture on the wall. Michael chooses the kind of music that she'll listen to because he knows what she doesn't like, obviously. And she's still alive, and she has no will to live. She doesn't want to live. In that same 2002 examination by a neurologist, that neurologist was obviously Dr. Hemisfar, because that's when he did his exam and had it videotaped, folks. Captured on videotape, Schiavo was turned on her side and probed with a sharp piece of wood. She acted with sounds of discomfort. After that procedure, the neurologist commented to her parents that they would have to roll her over on her other side. Schiavo vocalized a crying sound in response. It is important to note that at that moment, no one is touching Terry or causing actual pain, he writes. Rather, he says, she appears to comprehend what was said and anticipating pain. Anticipating pain. According to the definition of the PVS, he writes, patients do not have the capacity to experience pain and suffering. Yet, he concludes, after reviewing her medical records, pain issues frequently arise. The nurses of Woodside Hospice told that she often has pain with menstrual cramps. The pain and agitation subside when she's given ibuprofen. If Terry is consciously aware of pain and therefore capable of suffering, then her diagnosis of PVS may be tragically mistaken, he concludes. Isn't it amazing how they won't just go out there, just go all the way out and say, killing this woman is murder? Wouldn't it be something if somebody did that on mainstream mass television? To enter the room of Terry Schiavo is nothing like entering the room of a patient who is comatose or brain dead. This is quoting this guy, or in some neurological sense, no longer there, he writes. Although Terry did not demonstrate, during our 90-minute visit, compelling evidence of verbalization, conscious awareness, or volitional behavior, yet the visitor has the distinct sense of the presence of a living human being who seems, at some level, to be aware of some things around her. As I looked at Terry and she gazed directly back at me, I ask myself whether, if I were her attending physician, I could in good conscience withdraw her feeding and hydration. No, I could not. I could not draw life support if I were asked. I could not withhold life-sustaining nutrition and hydration from this beautiful lady whose face brightens in the presence of others. Cheshire indicated that he could see no reason to withdraw the sustenance. The situation differs fundamentally from end-of-life scenarios where it's appropriate to withdraw life-sustaining medical interventions that no longer benefit or are burdensome to patients in the terminal stages of illness. But Terry's feeding tube is not a burden to her. It's not painful, is not infected, is not eroding her stomach lining or causing any medical complications. But for the decision to withdraw her feeding tube, Terry cannot be considered medically terminal. But for the withdrawal, of food and water, she will not die. On the basis of all these findings, Jesher concluded it would be wrong to bring about her death by withdrawing food and water. At the time of this writing, Terry Schiavo is the result of decisions based on what I have argued to be a faulty diagnosis of PVS, has been without food and water for 5 days. He wrote, she is at risk of death or serious injury unless the provision of food and water can be restored. Terry Schiavo lacks the capacity to consent to emergency protective services and must trust others to act on her behalf. If she were to be transferred to another facility, it would be medically necessary to initiate hydration and ensure that her serum electrolytes are within normal values. How